وَلَقَدْ نَادَانَا نُوحٌ فَلَنِعْمَ الْمُجِيبُونَ
Noah, peace be upon him, had called upon us earlier. See how excellent we were in answering him. Noah, peace be upon him. This relates to verses 72 to 74. If we bear in mind the content of those verses, it is evident why these stories are being narrated here. Had called upon us. Reference here is to the supplication of the prophet Noah, peace be upon him, in a state of utter despair after he had preached the truth to his people for centuries. This supplication is mentioned in the Quran in these words. Then he called upon his Lord. Verily, I am vanquished, so come to my aid. Al-Qamar 54:10.
وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ وَأَهْلَهُ مِنَ الْكَرْبِ الْعَظِيمِ
We delivered him and his household from the great calamity. We delivered him and his household from the great calamity. The subtle point suggested here is that in the same manner that God had delivered the prophet Noah, peace be upon him, and his companions from the great calamity, he will also deliver the prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his companions from a similar calamity, the one they were facing at the hands of the Meccans.
وَجَعَلْنَا ذُرِّيَّتَهُ هُمُ الْبَاقِينَ
And made his offspring the only ones to survive. This is open to the following two meanings. A. The detractors of the prophet Noah, peace be upon him, were obliterated while only Noah's progeny has survived. B. Almost all the human race was removed from the scene. Only the descendants of the prophet Noah, peace be upon him, survived and later populated the world. Generally, Quran commentators prefer the latter interpretation, although the text of the Quran is not explicit in this regard. God alone knows the truth. Ibn Kathir, Tafsir, comments on verse 77.
وَتَرَكْنَا عَلَيْهِ فِي الْآخِرِينَ
And we established for him a good name among posterity.
سلام على نوح في العالمين
Peace be upon Noah among all the nations. Peace be upon Noah among all the nations. No one who would speak ill of the prophet Noah, peace be upon him, has survived. In contrast, for thousands of years since the flood, praise has been constantly showered on him.
إِنَّا كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ
Thus do we reward all those who do good.
إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ
Surely, he was one of our truly believing servants.
ثُمَّ أَغْرَقْنَا الْآخَرِينَ
Thereafter, we cause the others to be drowned.
وَإِنَّ مِنْ شِيعَتِهِ لَإِبْرَاهِيمَ
Abraham was on the self-same way as Noah. Peace be upon them.
إِذْ جَاءَ رَبَّهُ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ
When he came to his Lord with a pure heart, This means that a heart free of evil motives and intentions exclusively turns to God. Moreover, this was done with a pure heart. That is, a heart free from all errors relating to both belief and practice. This is a heart that has been purged of unbelief, polytheism, skepticism, rebellion, egotism, and evil intentions. A heart free from crookedness and complexity, free from evil inclinations and vile desires, free from rancor, envy, and ill will.
إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ مَاذَا تَعْبُدُونَ
And said to his father and his people, Whom do you worship? For a detailed account of the Prophet Abraham's story, see also Al-An'am 674-84, Maryam 19:41-50, Al-Anbiya 21:51-73, Al-Shu'ara 26:69-89, and Al-Ankabut 29:16-27.
أَئِفْكًا آلِهَةً دُونَ اللَّهِ تُرِيدُونَ
Is it false deities that you want to serve rather than Allah?
فَمَا ظَنُّكُمْ بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ
What do you think of the Lord of the whole universe? What do you think of the Lord of the whole universe? Abraham pointedly asked the unbelievers what their view of God was. Do they believe that their statues of wood and stone are his equivalents? Do they ascribe partnership to them in God's divinity? Abraham asked them, can they really be God's associates in his attributes and authority? Do they think they can indulge in this kind of blasphemy and still escape God's punishment?
فَنَظَرَ نَظْرَةً فِي النُّجُومِ
Then he looked carefully at the stars. Then this particular event is described in Al-Anbiya 21:51-73 and Al-Ankabut 29:16-27. He looked carefully at the stars. Ibn Abi Hatim quotes Qatada, the leading Quran commentator of the generation of the successors, that the Arabs used the expression, he looked upon the stars in an idiomatic sense, the word nazar meaning to consider, to ponder. Ibn Kathir has given preference to this opinion. Ibn Kathir Tafsir comments on verse 88. Moreover, it is common knowledge that when one is seized with a question that deserves serious reflection, one tends to look up above for a while before responding.
فَقَالَ إِنِّي سَقِيمٌ
And said, I am sick, and said, I am sick. This is considered to be one of the three things about which the Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, is said to have lied during his life. Before saying so, however, it should be ascertained whether at that time Abraham, peace be upon him, was really suffering from some indisposition, as he said, or whether he merely uttered this by way of pretext. If the former is the case, he cannot be considered a liar. We have discussed this point at length in Towards Understanding the Quran, Surah Al-Anbiya 21, Note 60, Volume 5, Paragraphs 275-277.
فَتَوَلَّوْا عَنْهُ مُدْبِرِينَ
So turning their backs, they went away from him. This clarifies the actual situation. Apparently, the members of Abraham's community were on their way to attend a fair, and they presumably asked him to accompany them. Abraham, however, excused himself on the grounds of his indisposition. Since his family members accepted his excuse and left him behind, it is evident that he was suffering from some kind of indisposition, maybe a cold or cough or any other ailment with such visible signs. It is this which prompted his family members to go ahead without him. See verses 89-90.
فراغ إلى آلهتهم فقال ألا تأكلون
Then he went quietly to the temple of the deities and said, What is the matter with you? Why do you not eat? This indicates that a variety of food items were placed before idols as offerings.
ما لكم لا تنطقون
What is the matter with you? Why do you not speak?
فراغ عليهم ضربا باليمين
Then he turned upon them, striking them with his right hand.
فأقبلوا إليه يزفون
Whereupon people came to him running. This event is described here in a summarized form. Its details feature in Surah Al-Anbiya, Surah 21. When Abraham's people returned home, they found that their idols had been demolished. They began to inquire and were told that the young Abraham used to speak ill of these idols. These people asked that Abraham be brought before them. A group of them then hastened to Abraham and brought him to the public assembly.
قال أتعبدون ما تنحتون
Abraham, peace be upon him, said to them, Do you worship what you yourselves have carved with your own hands?
والله خلقكم وما تعملون
while it is Allah who has created you and all that you make?
قَالُوا بَنُوا لَهُ بُنْيَانًا فَأَلْقُوهُ فِي الْجَحِيمِ
They spoke among themselves, build him a pyre and then throw him into the furnace.
فَأَرَادُوا بِهِ كَيْدًا فَجَعَلْنَاهُمُ الْأَسْفَلِينَ
They had contrived an evil plan against him, but we abased them all. It is stated elsewhere in the Quran that God made the fire coolness and safety for Abraham. Peace be upon him. Al-Anbiya 21:69 and Al-Ankabut 29-24. One learns, therefore, that while the unbelievers hurled the Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, into the fire, God saw to it that he remained safe. The wording of the verse that the unbelievers had contrived an evil plan against him, but Allah abased them all, verse 98, cannot be considered to mean that although they had wanted to throw the Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, into the fire, they could not do so. Instead, if one reads this verse in conjunction with the verses referred to above, it clearly emerges that what they were unsuccessful in doing was burning him to death, even though they did hurl him into the fire. Abraham's miraculous survival established his ordinately exalted position, and the unbelieving members of his community were publicly humiliated. The purpose of narrating this incident is to warn the Quraysh, who boasted of being Abraham's descendants. They are being told that it is not they, but Muhammad, peace be upon him, who followed Abraham's way. Now, if they resort to evil designs against the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in the manner the unbelieving members of the Prophet Abraham's people once did, they too will bite the dust. They may do whatever they wish to, but in no way will they be able to thwart the mission of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
وَقَالَ إِنِّي ذَاهِبٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ
Abraham, peace be upon him, said, I am going to my Lord, he will guide me. Abraham, peace be upon him, said, after being delivered from the fire, Abraham, peace be upon him, decided to bid adieu to his homeland. He uttered the words, I am going to my Lord, at the time of his departure. I am going to my Lord. Abraham's words, peace be upon him, I am going to my Lord, mean that he was leaving his hearth and home in God's cause. His people had turned against him on account of his exclusive devotion and allegiance to God. Also, there was no particular place to which Abraham could go. Hence, he was setting out for God's sake, and in so doing, his trust was entirely in him. He was ready to go wherever God wanted to take him.
رَبِّ هَبْ لِي مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ
Lord, grant me a righteous son. Lord, grant me a righteous son. It is evident from this supplication that, at that time, Abraham, peace be upon him, had no children of his own. It also appears from other Quranic passages that he had left the country along with his wife and his nephew, Lot, peace be upon him. In this situation, the desire naturally arose within him that God grant him a righteous child whose presence would be a solace to him in this grievous state of exile.
فَبَشَّرْنَاهُ بِغُلَامٍ حَلِيمٍ
In response to this prayer, we gave him the good news of a prudent boy.
This should not give rise to the misconception that this happy tiding of the birth of a son came instantly on the heels of Abraham's supplication, peace be upon him. It appears from Surah Ibrahim 14:39 that it took many years before Abraham's prayer was granted, peace be upon him. According to the Bible, the Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, was 86 years old at the time of Ishmael's birth, peace be upon him, Genesis 16:16, and was 100 years old when Isaac, peace be upon him, was born, Genesis 21:5.
فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعْيَ قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى قال يا أبت افعل ما تؤمر ستجدني إن شاء الله من الصابرين.
And when he was old enough to go about and work with him, one day Abraham, peace be upon him, said to him, My son, I see in my dream that I am slaughtering you. So consider and tell me what you think. He said, Do as you are bidden. You will find me, if Allah so wills, among the steadfast. And when he was old enough to go about and work with him, one day, Abraham, peace be upon him, said to him, My son, I see in my dream that I am slaughtering you.
It is noteworthy that the prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, did not dream that he had slaughtered his son. Rather, he dreamt that he was slaughtering him. He nonetheless interpreted this dream to mean that he was directed to slaughter his son. It was for this reason that he prepared himself to carry out that task. The subtle point that whatever happened was a part of God's plan is uncovered below in verse 105.
So consider and tell me what you think.
Abraham, peace be upon him, did not mention his dream to his son in order to seek the latter's consent to carry out God's command. Instead, he wanted to ascertain how righteous his son was. It is significant that Abraham's prayer to God was to grant him a righteous child. The latter's willingness to be slaughtered indicated that his prayer had been granted in full. Ishmael, peace be upon him, was thus not only his son in a biological sense, but was also a true descendant of Abraham, peace be upon him, in moral and spiritual terms.
He said, Do as you are bidden.
It is clear from Ishmael's words that he took his father's dream to be an indication of God's command. Had this indeed had not been God's command, the Quran would have indicated, whether explicitly or implicitly, that this was a misunderstanding. But there is nothing to show that this was a misunderstanding. This explains the Islamic doctrine that a prophet's dream is one mode of revelation. Had the prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, erred in grasping the import of his dream, God would have corrected him. It is impossible for anyone who believes the Quran to be the word of God to accept that God can commit such lapses.
فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينِ
When both surrendered to Allah's command, and Abraham, peace be upon him, flung the sun down on his forehead. When both surrendered to Allah's command, and Abraham, peace be upon him, flung the sun down on his forehead.
Just as the prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, was about to undertake the slaughter, he placed his son with his face downwards. He did so because he did not wish to look at his son's face, lest out of overwhelming affection his hand might falter while he was slaughtering him.
وَنَادَيْنَاهُ أَنْ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ
We cried out, O Abraham! We cried out.
Concerning verses 103 to 104, some grammarians are of the opinion that the letter va in verse 104 means then rather than and. Thus, the verses in question, when both surrendered to Allah's command and Abraham flung his son down on the forehead, then we cried out, O Abraham, peace be upon him. Other grammarians, however, contest this interpretation. They are of the opinion that the answer to lama, when, in verse 103 is omitted and has been left to the understanding of the reader. Razi, Al-Tafsir Al-Kabir, comments on verse 104. The matter was of such tremendous proportions that rather than verbally express it, it was better left to the audience's imagination. In other words, God witnessed how readily the age-stricken father had agreed to slaughter his own son whose birth he had sought so fervently, and the son also expressed his full readiness to be slaughtered for God's pleasure. One can imagine how strongly this would have aroused God's mercy and compassion for both Abraham and his son, peace be upon them, how the loyalty of both of them would have endeared them to God. This too is better left to the imagination rather than stated in words, for words can never do full justice to it.
قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا إِنَّا كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ
You have indeed fulfilled your dream. Thus do we reward the good doers. You have indeed fulfilled your dream.
In his dream, Abraham, peace be upon him, had seen himself slaughtering his son, but not that he had slaughtered him. So when he had made all preparations for that act, God treated this as indicating that the actual object of the dream had been fulfilled. God's purpose was not to take Ishmael's life, peace be upon him, but to ascertain the readiness of Abraham and Ishmael, peace be upon them, to do his will.
Thus do we reward the good doers.
God does not put his righteous servants to test with a view to subjecting them to unnecessary hardship. Rather, these tests are meant to bring out their latent excellence and to help them attain higher ranks. Also, God sees to it that they are safely rescued from the hardships in which they are placed. The Prophet Abraham's readiness to sacrifice his son was sufficient for the bestowal of an exalted rank on him, one which would normally have only been granted to him after the performance of the act itself.
إن هذا لهو البلاء المبين
This was indeed a plain trial. This was indeed a plain trial.
God did not want the prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, to slaughter his son. The purpose of the test was to ascertain whether Abraham held God's pleasure dearer than everything else, including his son.
وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ
And we ransomed him with a mighty sacrifice. And we ransomed him with a mighty sacrifice.
The reference here is to the ram, which according to both Islamic and biblical sources, was made available to Abraham in order that it be sacrificed instead of his son. This is referred to as the great sacrifice, insofar as it served as the ransom to preserve the Son of God's obedient servant, Abraham, peace be upon him. God made that ram the means for an unprecedented sacrifice. This incident is also known as the Great Sacrifice because God prescribed that believers should henceforth offer animal sacrifice and commemorate this great example of loyalty and selfless allegiance to Him.
وَتَرَكْنَا عَلَيْهِ فِي الْآخِرِينَ
And we preserved for him a good name among posterity.
سَلَامٌ عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ
Peace be upon Abraham.
كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ
Thus do we reward the good doers.
إنه من عبادنا المؤمنين
Surely, he was one of our believing servants.
وبشرناه بإسحاق نبيا من الصالحين
And we gave him the good news of Isaac, peace be upon him, a prophet and among the righteous ones.
وباركنا عليه وعلى إسحاق ومن ذريتهما محسن وظالم لنفسه مبين
And we blessed him with Isaac, peace be upon him. Among the offspring of the two, some did good and some plainly wronged themselves. And we blessed him with Isaac, peace be upon him.
One is faced here with the question of determining as to who was that son of the prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, he whom he wanted to sacrifice and who readily accepted to be sacrificed. God tested Abraham, peace be upon him, and said to him, Abraham, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Genesis 21:1-2. This passage specifies Isaac, peace be upon him, and declares him to be the only son of the prophet Abraham, peace be upon him. At other places, however, the Bible speaks of a second son of Abraham, peace be upon him as well. Let us consider the following biblical passages as illustrative. Now Sarai, Abraham's wife, bore him no children. She had an Egyptian maid whose name was Hagar.
And Sarai said to Abram, Behold now, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go in to my maid. It may be that I shall obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. So after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian, her maid, and gave her to Abram, her husband, as wife. And he went in to Hagar, and she conceived. Genesis 16:1-4. And the angel of the Lord said to Hagar, Behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael. Peace be upon him. Genesis 16:11. Abram, peace be upon him, was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael, peace be upon him, to Abram, peace be upon them. Genesis 16:16. And God said to Abram, peace be upon him, As for Sarai, your wife, I will give you a son by her, and you shall call his name Isaac, peace be upon him. Sarah shall bear to you Isaac, peace be upon him, at this season next year. Then Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and every male among the men of Abraham's house, peace be upon them, and he circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very day, as God said to him. Abraham, peace be upon him, was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael, peace be upon him, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. Genesis 17:15-25. Abraham, peace be upon him, was 100 years old when his son Isaac, peace be upon him, was born to him. Genesis 21:5. These biblical passages betray inner contradictions. For 14 years, Ishmael, peace be upon him, was the only son of Abraham, peace be upon him. If God had asked him to offer his only son, then this could only refer to Ishmael, for then he was his only son. Had God's intent been that Isaac be the offering, the insistence on the only son would be incongruous. However, even the traditions in the Islamic sources on this question are characterized by serious contradictions. The traditions narrated by Quran commentators on the authority of companions and successors show considerable disagreement. One group of commentators, for example, affirms on the basis of reports narrated by companions and successors that it was Isaac who was earmarked for the sacrifice. Peace be upon him. To this group belong Umar, Ali, Abdullah ibn Masud, Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib, Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abu Huraira, Qatada, Ikrama, Hassan al-Basri, Sayyid ibn Jubair, Shabi, Masruq, Makhul, Zuhri, Ata, Muqatil, Sudi, Qab al-Ahbar, and Zaid ibn Aslam. Another group, however, asserts that it was Ishmael, peace be upon him, who was marked for the sacrifice. Notable authorities of this group are Abu Bakr, Ali, Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abu Huraira, Muawiyah, Ikrama, Mujahid, Yusuf ibn Mehran, Hassan al-Basri, Muhammad ibn Kab al-Qurazi, Shabi, Sayyid ibn al-Musayyib, Dahak, Muhammad ibn Ali ibn al-Husayn, Muhammad al-Bakir, Rabi ibn Anas, and Ahmed ibn Hanbal. When we compare the names in the two lists, we find that some names feature in both of them. In other words, at times, two opposite views are ascribed to the same people. According to Ikrama, Abdullah ibn Abbas identified Isaac, peace be upon him, on this count. Ata ibn Abi Rabah, however, credits the same, Abdullah ibn Abbas, with the following statement. The Jews contend that it was Isaac, but the Jews lied. Likewise, Hassan al-Basri appears in a report supporting the view that Isaac, peace be upon him, was the one who was to be sacrificed. On the contrary, in another report, Amr ibn Ubayd declares that Hassan al-Basri wholly subscribed to the view that it was Ishmael, peace be upon him, whom the prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, was asked to sacrifice. As a result of this disagreement, Muslim scholars stand divided into two camps. Ibn Jabir, Qadi, Iyad, and some others are of the firm view that Isaac, peace be upon him, was the intended offering. Ibn Kathir, Jalal al-Din al-Suyuti, and some others appear undecided on the issue. In contrast, some scholars emphatically declare that Ishmael, peace be upon him, was the intended offering.
A scrutiny of the whole issue, however, leads one to the view that beyond any shadow of doubt, God's command to the prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, was to sacrifice Ishmael, peace be upon him. This view rests on the following pieces of evidence. A. As already noted, while migrating from his hometown, the prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, had prayed to God that he be blessed with a righteous son. In response, God gave him the glad tidings of the birth of a forbearing son. It is clear from the context that at the time he prayed, he did not have a child. These tidings therefore relate to the birth of his first child. It also emerges from the context that Abraham was directed to present the same son as an offering. That Ishmael was his first son is indisputable. The Quran speaks of his sons in the following order. Abraham, peace be upon him, said, "All praise be to Allah who, despite my old age, has given me Ishmael and Isaac, peace be upon them." Ibrahim 14:39. B. All the Quranic references to Isaac, peace be upon him, designate him as the knowledgeable son. Instances in point are as follows. They, the angels, announce to him, Abraham, peace be upon him, the good news of the birth of a boy endowed with knowledge. Al-Dhariyat 51:28. They, the angels, said, "We give you, O Abraham, peace be upon him, the good news of a wise boy." Al-Hijr 15:53. When the Quran speaks of Ishmael, he is mentioned as a forbearing boy. See Al-Safat 37:101. The two sons thus had qualities distinct from each other. The Quranic command to sacrifice was meant for the forbearing boy, that is, Ishmael, rather than for the boy endowed with knowledge, that is, Isaac, peace be upon them. C. While giving the good news about Isaac's birth, peace be upon him, the Quran also gave the good news of the birth of a son to him called Jacob, peace be upon him. "We gave her, Abraham's wife, the good news of the birth of Isaac, and after Isaac, of Jacob, peace be upon them." Hud 11:71. Thus, the situation was the following. Abraham, peace be upon him, was given the tidings that a son, Isaac, peace be upon him, would be born to him, and that a worthy son, Jacob, would be born to Isaac, peace be upon them. Then Abraham, peace be upon him, was shown in a vision that he was sacrificing his son. In the circumstance, it would be well nigh impossible for Abraham to conclude that he was being asked to offer Isaac, peace be upon him, as a sacrifice. Ibn Jarir al-Tabari explains his viewpoint about the matter by saying that possibly Abraham, peace be upon him, had that vision after Jacob, peace be upon him, was born to Isaac, peace be upon him. This, however, is a very tenuous contention, for the Quran states that the prophet Abraham's dream, peace be upon him, belongs to the period when his son had become old enough to go about and work with him. Al-Safat 37:102. Anyone who pays an unbiased attention to this will consider it to refer to a young, say 8 or 10 year old boy, rather than to a fully grown adult who had already fathered a child. D. After narrating this whole account, the Quran concludes with the observation, "And we gave him the good news of Isaac, peace be upon him, a prophet and among the righteous ones." Al-Safat 37:112. This once again establishes that Isaac was not to be sacrificed. Rather, the glad tiding about another son had been given earlier, and as he grew old enough to go about and work, God directed Abraham that he be sacrificed. After the prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, had successfully passed the test to which he was put, the good news of the birth of another son was given to him. This sequence of events makes it clear that Isaac was not the son intended for the sacrifice. Rather, the allusion was to Ishmael, peace be upon him, who had been born 14 years earlier. Ibn Jarir al-Tabari dismisses this sequence of events, saying that the glad tidings related to Isaac's birth. Also, as he expressed his readiness to be sacrificed in order to obtain God's pleasure, he was rewarded with the conferment of the messenger's office. This, however, is an even less convincing and less plausible statement than the one already cited. Had Isaac been the intended offering, peace be upon him, the Quran would not have said, "And we gave him the good news of Isaac, peace be upon him, a prophet and among the righteous ones. Verse 112. Rather, it would have been mentioned, and we gave him the good news that this son of yours will be a prophet among the righteous ones. E. Authentic reports indicate that the horns of the ram, which was slaughtered as a ransom for Ishmael, peace be upon him, were preserved inside the Kaaba up to the days of Abdullah ibn al-Zubair. At a later date, when Hajjaj ibn Yusuf laid siege on Abdullah ibn al-Zubair inside the Kaaba and demolished it, these horns were lost. Both Abdullah ibn Abbas and Shabi testified that they saw these horns inside the Kaaba. Ibn Kathir, Tafsir, comments on the verses 107-113. This also proves that the offering was made in Mecca, not in Syria, and that it was Ishmael, peace be upon him, who was to be sacrificed. That is why this relic was befittingly preserved within the precincts of the Kaaba, which had been built by the prophets Abraham and Ishmael, peace be upon them. F. The Arabs have held on to the belief down the ages that the event of the offering took place in Mina. This was far from being a mere report. Since the time of the event till the lifetime of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, the Arabs used to sacrifice their animals as one of their pilgrimage rites. They did this at the spot where the Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, had made the offering. This rite was retained as part of Hajj by the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Up to this day, millions of pilgrims sacrificed their animals in Mina. This practice for more than 4,500 years conclusively establishes that Ishmael was the intended offering. Significantly, no such rite is performed by Isaac's descendants. Furthermore, Ishmael's people have observed this practice for centuries in order to commemorate the offering that involved the prophets Abraham and Ishmael, peace be upon them. In the face of these incontrovertible pieces of evidence, it is astonishing how even some Muslims entertain the idea that Isaac was the intended offering, peace be upon him. The Jewish insistence on conferring this honor on their progenitor Isaac, peace be upon him, is understandable. However, it defies one's understanding why so many Muslims endorsed this Jewish claim. Ibn Kathir offers the following answer to this intriguing question. The truth is known to God alone. Nonetheless, it appears that all the reports identifying Isaac, peace be upon him, as the intended offering, have originated from Ka'b al-Ahbar, when he embraced Islam during Caliph Umar's era. He occasionally narrated to the caliph passages from the Jewish and Christian scriptures. Others, that is, other companions too, received similar reports from him, irrespective of their authenticity. The Muslims did not stand in need of any report from these sources. The issue is further elaborated in a report on the authority of Muhammad ibn Ka'b al-Qurazi. He states, there was a discussion at the court of Caliph Umar ibn Abdul Aziz on the issue as to who was the intended offering, Isaac or Ishmael, peace be upon them. Among those present, there was a devout Muslim who had converted from Judaism to Islam. He remarked, O Commander of the Faithful, by God, it was Ishmael, peace be upon him. This fact is well known to the Jews. However, swayed by their jealousy towards the Arabs, they confer this honor upon Isaac, peace be upon him. In sum, it was as a result of Jewish propaganda that some Muslims bought the story of Isaac, peace be upon him, being the intended offering. Since the Muslims were unbiased on these academic issues, they uncritically accepted false reports paraded by the Jews as scriptural statements. They failed to discern the Jewish ploy permeating such reports. Among the offspring of the two, some did good, and some plainly wronged themselves. This brings out the lesson inherent in the Prophet Abraham's story, peace be upon him. Two major communities emerged from the Prophet Abraham's two sons, peace be upon him. One of them were the children of Israel, among whom there emerged two major religions, Judaism and Christianity. The other were the children of Ishmael, peace be upon him. At the time the Quran was revealed, they were considered the leaders of the whole of Arabia. Among them were the Quraysh of Mecca, who occupied a preeminent position in the whole of Arabia. After relating this important event in the history of this family, God reminds them that they were exalted to great heights. This was in recognition of their godliness, sincerity, and submission to God, as exemplified by their ancestors, the prophets Abraham, Ishmael, and Isaac, peace be upon them. God endowed His bounties on them according to His plan. This was not a haphazard bestowal of His grace. The descendants of these prophets cannot lay claim to the endowment of the same favors simply because of their blood ties with their ancestors. Rather, God will test them as to whether they are righteous or wrongdoers, and He will treat them accordingly.